Hello, everyone, and welcome to On the Safe Side, a monthly podcast hosted by the editors of Safety and Health Magazine, the official magazine of the National Safety Council. This is Alan Ferguson, Associate Editor at Safety and Health, and with me, as always, are my fellow associate editors, Barry Bettino and Kevin Drewley. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Alan. Happy spring, Alan.
Yeah, happy spring. Thank you all for joining us for this 49th episode in our podcast history. Many of you have had a unique journey into the safety profession, and we want to hear about it for our My Story feature in our magazine. Submit your personal stories about how you got into the safety field by emailing us at safehealth@nsc.org. To view past My Story entries and catch up on all the news from around the safety world, visit our website, safetyandhealthmagazine.com. In this month's podcast, we'll recap some key stories and departments from the pages of our March edition of Safety and Health Magazine and our In This Issue segment. We'll also be joined by our NSC colleague, Amy Artuso, to discuss Distracted Driving Awareness Month in our Five Questions With interview. And we'll catch up on some news around the safety world in our In Case You Missed It segment. Is everybody ready? Let's go.
Back this month is our In This Issue segment, in which we take a closer look at some highlights of the March issue of Safety and Health. Your three humble On the Safe Side co-hosts each have written features for this edition of the magazine. Do you think you know ladder safety? Right in step with National Ladder Safety Month in March, Alan has researched and prepared a 10-question quiz, not to mention a 3-point bonus question that will put that knowledge to the test. Barry writes about the topic of difficult conversations, which one expert defines as, quote, one you personally feel challenged by for whatever reasons, unquote. Read along for insight into why such conversations can be difficult and also see some steps that safety professionals can take to make those interactions easier for those involved. Additionally, we examine various psychological safety issues involving women in the construction industry. While data shows female participation in construction solely has climbed over the past decade plus, women still struggle with biases and discrimination in a traditionally male-dominated field. My story looks at what women in construction can do to deal with these hardships and support one another. Also in this issue, we have plenty of occupational safety and industry news, as well as insight from our Workplace Solutions section, where safety equipment manufacturers and service providers address questions from the field. Find the coverage in your mailbox or online at safetyandhealthmagazine.com.
Every safety professional has a unique story. So, what's yours? Safety and Health Magazine wants to hear about your path into the occupational health and safety field for our My Story column. You can share your safety origin story by sending a submission to safehealth@nsc.org.
Being an attentive and alert driver can keep you and others safe on the roads. But too often, motorists around us every day are distracted, whether it's by a cell phone, eating or drinking, or focusing too much on passengers in their vehicle. With us to discuss Distracted Driving Awareness Month, which is observed in April, and its impact on workers, is our colleague, Amy Artuso, who serves as NSC's Senior Program Manager 3, Mobility Safety Impact. Amy, thank you so much for joining us on the Safe Side.
Thanks for having me.
Could you tell us a little bit about how Distracted Driving Awareness Month started? And can you give a little history for us?
Congress designated Distracted Driving Awareness Month, also known as DDAM, in 2010 with the goal of educating Americans to become aware of and avoid distractions behind the wheel. Since then, NSC has led this annual educational resources each April to help all road users understand the dangers of distracted driving and how they can take simple steps to eliminate it. The focus has shifted a bit over the years to evolve with new distracted driving risks. While texting while driving has been an issue since the start of this campaign, infotainment centers, social media apps, and other issues have come more to the forefront in recent years.
Well, Amy, what can employers and safety pros do to raise awareness about distracted driving?
Employers and safety professionals can prioritize this issue on and off the job. You can help your workforce understand the three main types of distracted driving and explain the risks, whether they're driving for work or off the job, when they're not at work. Employers and safety professionals can also explain how distracted driving impacts all other road users. You can adopt or strengthen a workplace safe driving policy, explain the policy clearly, and enforce it for all workers. You can communicate regularly about this issue. Don't leave the issue in April during Distracted Driving Awareness Month. It's important to make it a theme throughout the year and share your own experiences around distracted driving and encourage your workforce to do the same. You can share how you responded and what your workers can do to help keep themselves safe around distracted drivers, and share simple tips to avoid distracted driving. Encourage your workforce to put their phones on do not disturb mode when they're driving, and avoid reaching out to them when you know they're driving. And I think this is a big one. If managers and leadership can make it a practice to not reach out to workers when you know that they're driving, so that they don't feel pressure to respond behind the wheel while they're in control of a vehicle.
What has NSC observed in terms of workplace cell phone policies, and what are some best practices for building an effective policy?
According to an NSC survey of DDAM participants last year in 2023, 83% of organizations currently have a safe driving policy. According to the same survey, the biggest challenges to passing such a policy include employer resistance, other organizational priorities, and a lack of leadership support. The National Safety Council recommends a distracted driving policy that includes banning the use of handheld and hands-free devices while driving, using do not disturb mode, silencing or turning off devices while driving, using phones and electronics only when the vehicle is safely parked, and setting navigation and any other interactive electronics before driving. Listeners can access a template to build or strengthen their own policy, as well as other resources at nsc.org/justdrive.
Other than cell phones, what are some common distractions behind the wheel that workers and safety pros may see?
Anything that takes your eyes off the road, hands off the wheel, or mind off of driving can be a distraction. Built-in infotainment screens are often considered safe because they're standard within a vehicle, but they can be very distracting behind the wheel. And it's not just about technology. Reaching into the back seat for something on the floor, taking a hand off the wheel to eat while you're driving, or even just an involved conversation with a passenger can all be dangerous distractions. When it comes to cell phones, it's important to remember that it's not just obvious distractions like texting that are risky. Hands-free usage like Bluetooth headphones, calls on speakerphone, or voice-to-text commands are still dangerously distracting.
What else do you wish everyone knew about distracted driving?
According to the information from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, texting is one of the most alarming distractions. Sending or reading a text takes your eyes off the road for 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's like driving the length of an entire football field with your eyes closed. You cannot drive safely unless the task of driving has your full attention. Any non-driving activity you engage in is a potential distraction, and it increases your risk of crashing as well as harming other roadway users inside and outside of vehicles.
Well, Amy, we thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you joining us on the Safe Side. Before we wrap up, what types of resources does NSC offer, and where can our listeners find those?
NSC offers a full suite of free resources for Distracted Driving Awareness Month, all designed to raise awareness of the dangers of distracted driving and to share simple steps you can take to avoid it. NSC resources include posters, videos, the Just Drive Pledge, a participation guide, and more. Our participation guide is new for this year's campaign and will make it easy to participate and engage a workforce on this topic. You can take the Just Drive Pledge to drive distraction-free at nsc.org/pledge. We also want to hear how you're participating. You can print out our Just Drive sign, take a photo with your team, and post it on social media with the hashtag Just Drive to tell us how you're committing to safe driving. All resources are available for free at nsc.org/justdrive.
This is a really important topic, and I'm so glad we got a chance to talk to you today. Thanks so much for your time, and thanks for being on the safe side.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for focusing on this important topic.
With March coming in like a lion, it could be easy to miss some of the stories from Safety and Health, always available at safetyandhealthmagazine.com. That's why we're here with In Case You Missed It, a segment shining a light on safety news and developments that may have zoomed by you like a March gale force wind. To get things started, OSHA has put out a proposed rule on emergency response. Basically, what they're trying to do is have a more comprehensive emergency response standard. They want to replace their standard on fire brigades, which is 1910.156. They want to address major changes in performance specifications for protective clothing and equipment and safety and health practices that have been accepted by the emergency response community and incorporated into industry consensus standard. The proposal would also require employers to obtain baseline medical screenings for first responders and ensure continued medical surveillance when responders are exposed to things like byproducts of fire and explosions more than 15 times a year. That notice of proposed rulemaking was published February 5th, and comments are available through May. Kevin, what about you?
The FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, reminding folks not only that pointing lasers at aircraft is a federal crime, the frequency with which it's happening. There was some data released recently by the agency. They call them laser strikes, and I know you might hear that, and it seems very severe. What it truly is talking about, a lot of it, is just these domestic laser pointers or just smaller devices, and they've reached ranges such that they can still put pilots and put passengers in peril just by flashing them at an aircraft. The agency began keeping data on this in 2006, and they recorded 384 cases. Well, last year they reported more than 13,000 laser strike incidents, and of course that's astronomically bigger than what we just said in 06, but it's still quite larger even than the previous year. It's a 40.7% increase from 2021 versus 2022. This is a federal crime. A little bit more of analysis into the surge. These devices are more widespread. They're inexpensive. Maybe you'll get them as a gift or whatnot. Also, they've got stronger power levels, and they're allowing the laser to reach an aircraft at higher altitudes. It was interesting. We cover FAA. Lately, there's been some light shined into the mental health of pilots and some lawmakers taking exception to some of those protections. Just something that caught my eye. Barry, how about you?
Kevin, you were talking about safety in the air, and I'd like to bring us down to safety on the roads. And some legislators in Maryland are getting pretty serious about protecting workers and work zones. So much so that they've introduced recently some legislation. It would make first-time speeding violations in work zones, they'd make the fines go from $40 to $290. And this is called the Maryland Road Worker Protection Act of 2024. And Maryland officials said in November of last year, there were an average of 3.5 work zone crashes in the state every day. So this is an issue that they're really trying to attack. And the Maryland Lieutenant Governor Aruna K. Miller said, quote, "We just want to bring a culture change that anytime you're near a work zone and you see those orange cones up, you see workers there with their hard hats on, immediately it should go off in your head. Okay, I need to slow down." So some good information there, and we'll track how that bill moves along in Maryland.
Now it's our listeners' turn. If there's something important that you've learned recently and want others in the safety world to know, please email your thoughts and feedback to us at safehealth@nsc.org. We're eager to hear from you.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us for this month's episode. We know that your time is very valuable, and we appreciate you spending some of it with us. We encourage you to visit safetyandhealthmagazine.com/podcast to check out each of our past episodes. We'd also appreciate you rating, reviewing, or just spreading the word about this podcast. To find stories, news, and insights from around the safety world, you can also check out our website, safetyandhealthmagazine.com, and make sure you follow us on your favorite social media channel. Original music for this podcast was composed by the maestro, Steve Maslin. Thank you so much, Steve. And a big thank you to all of our NSC colleagues behind the scenes who make this podcast go. We'll be back next month to have more safety-related discussions, talk to trusted voices from around the profession, and hopefully make you smile a little. In the meantime, please stay on the safe side.